Back on another episode, I got one of my good friends. He's a national writer for May Hoops, and him and I was at the Hoop Hall Classic in Springfield, Massachusetts. Probably one of my favorite events thus far outside of City of Palms, and we saw so much basketball. I covered 14 games, but Max, what was your experience like in Massachusetts? Even though everything closed at like 9 p.m. and I left the gym at like midnight and had to suffer from Uber Eats, but other than that, it was a great time, and I got to digest so much basketball at a high level.
Absolutely. Yeah, like you said, awesome experience. Actually, my first ever Hoop Hall Classic experience.
Nice. Same.
Crazy environment. Obviously the high level hoops is one thing. You're seeing a bunch of the best teams in the country, seeing teams from all over the country, which is also cool at this time of the year. But coolest thing for me, biggest takeaway was the environment. It's a small gym. You get to meet and see a lot of different people, but also just the energy in the building throughout just about every matchup was different than any gym I've seen so far this year.
I think I'm trying to date back on our social, who the first team that I got to cover down at Hoop Hall. It was so many teams that we covered, and oh, I'm sorry, Mont Verde played that evening, so I flew in. My flight got delayed because obviously we had that winter storm in Chicago, and so I got down there, grab a bite to eat with some of my coworkers, and we got to unravel. Montverde versus who they play? Montverde, who was the first game they played?
That first game,
It was so many. Hold on, I'm looking it up now.
oh,
I
really?
was it Oak Hill, the first game? I think it was Oak Hill.
Think it might have been.
Yeah, I think it was Oak Hill, that first one, because I'm going back on our social. And yeah, I think it was Oak Hill. They won by, it was 80-50, and okay, it was Oak Hill, and they was able to kind of pull it out, Montverde, but Oak Hill had opportunity to win that game, if you could recall. What was your takeaway from that game? Because it was close in the beginning.
Yeah, it was a slow start, definitely for Montverde. I think they've done that a couple times this year, where I feel like any given game, especially after this weekend, like they're going to go in knowing that they should win the game. So I think it's kind of led to some slow starts. But Oak Hill, like with their two guards, Christian Anderson Jr. and Caden Magwood, like they've lost some games that they shouldn't have lost, but they're not going to be out of any given game just with how those guys can score and create. So yeah, you could definitely see they gave them a little bit of they gave them all they could handle early on, and then Montverde kind of grabbed a hold and got their younger guys in the game towards the end as they kind of pulled away.
Yeah, and I think in order to beat Montverde, I would say you have to be disciplined. You have to make shots, and you got to take care of the ball on each possession, because there was a lot of games, or a couple of games, where Montverde almost lost some close ones, and Montverde was just more of the disciplined team down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. Something I've noted recently, seen Montverde like almost every week in the last 3 or 4 weekends, and they continue to press once they get something going. Like once they go on a little bit of even 4 or 6-0 run, they're putting on the press and they're looking to speed you up. And that's kind of how these leads kind of just snowball. Like they'll be up to 6 to 8, and then it'll be a 30-point game 3 to 4 minutes later, just with how they press and how they turn up the tempo.
How excited that was the game outside of Oak Hill was the prolific prep. I love seeing AJ DeBanza. I love the way he plays. Tyrann Stokes, Mikey, who played for Drew Gooden. Well, not Drew Gooden, but he played with the Soldiers, right? And a lot of people don't know he led the EYBL in scoring. And so having that weapon and the way prolific played, I almost thought they had Montverde.
It looked like it, man. They had him there on the ropes for a minute. It was kind of the first time that Montverde's been tested like that all year. Like they've had some closer games in the second half, and then they usually pull away. But Montverde had a lead there. I think it was with like 3 minutes left or something like that.
Yeah.
Curtis Givens went on and eventually hit that big three in the corner, and it kind of was the dagger, but they gave him all they could handle.
Liam had
Yeah, he was awesome.
what he had 22 points. He went 4 for 5 from three. He was a huge spark for them. How at all do you be when you see Tyrann Stokes just rip through baseline and go toe to toe with like juniors and seniors, and knowing that he's only in the class of 2026?
He's a force of nature. Like, you rarely see a kid that young where it's like if he gets a glimpse of the rim, he's looking to finish through, whether it's a 7-footer or it's three defenders. Like, he's looking to dunk the ball every time. And I think that kind of goes to show like who he is and his approach as a whole. Like, that's one of the most competitive, intense guys in the country for sure. Doesn't even matter his age.
Who are some of your favorite players that stood out to you that you enjoy watching at HoopBall?
Yeah, obviously a lot of the top guys, it's great to see them. But I think
Who's
with
some sleepers, you would say?
I would say a few guys that really impressed me was Harvard Westlake's Nick Kamenia, 6'7" wing. I thought he was awesome matchup against McEachern and Ace Bailey. He made it really tough for Ace Bailey. And defense has been a little bit of a question for him previously, but he showed a lot in that matchup. Definitely took that one-on-one matchup pretty personal. And then offensively, he's got like a super mature game. Plays out of the post, awesome footwork, great touch, can score at all three levels. So I thought he was super impressive and definitely one of those guys that people might not know as much about in the class of 2025, but kind of asserting himself as like a potential top 25 guy.
One of my favorite sleepers is Eric Freeney, plays for Centennial, who is going to play with Mick Cronin at UCLA. And he had 34. He had 34 points. And it was a joy to watch him go up against Jahlil Bethea, who had finished that evening with 40 points. And I just think, I think Freeney's a sleeper, and I covered him at the 3SB. And he's one of those guys that could get it done on both ends. So I wasn't surprised that he had 34, but what about Jahlil Bethea's 40-point performance?
Yeah, we were talking about guards that can explode any given game. Like, he is just any given game, he's a threat to put up 40. And he continues to grow like more poised and have better composure when he goes on these runs. But he's been, if not the biggest riser, definitely one of the biggest risers in the senior class over the last like 6 months. Had an awesome EYBL run. My bet for the best shooter in the country for sure. And athletically, he's just continued to grow and mature with that. So yeah, he was super impressive in that game.
What's your thoughts about Lu High? They got VJ Edgecombe, obviously Kyan Anthony's coming off the bench, but I think their best players are the Mingo Bros.
I mean, they're one of the most fun teams to watch. I think they're super, super well coached. They get the most out of their guys. Dylan Mingo's a good example too, where he's one of the younger guys on the team. And he's been able previously, like in EYBL, to kind of be more on ball, be more of a primary guy. And it's just been impressive week after week, like to see his buy-in to do the little things, to really rebound, to defend, to cut to the rim. So they're definitely one of the most fun teams to watch with just how deep they are. And Caden Mingo's another guy too, been one of the most impressive guys over the last 3 months.
He was a standout for me at City of Palms. Like, I would hear his name constantly, and Caden Mingo for three, Caden Mingo for two. And then I would look at the box score and see how loaded, Lu High is. I'm going to their event next month in New York at Lu High. I'm looking forward to seeing that. But they grew on me over time because I've never got to see VJ Edgecombe play consistently. I've heard of him, but I never, he played on the Adidas circuit. And so watching them play, and then Monday they dropped the ball to AZ Compass. For the basketball fans, Max, those Monday games was a stretch because a lot of those teams was just ready to go home.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know there were a few teams that were stuck on the East Coast from weather and they weren't able to go home from the week before. And there was just a ton going on just with the weather all over the country. Obviously 3 days, and it's not just 3 days against like random teams. You're playing three top 20 teams at the least, it feels like, just about every day. So yeah, you could definitely see it by the time Monday came around.
I was pretty amped to watch the Boozers are my favorite team. You have a favorite team that you enjoy watching day to day?
Got a lot. I would say PVI is one of
Darren
my.
Harris is one of my favorites. Talk about Paul the Six.
They're definitely one of my favorite teams. Jordan Smith Jr. is one of my favorite prospects in the entire country. Still a sophomore, but like 6'3", super long, and also just one of the best competitors in the entire country. One of the best perimeter defenders in the country too. Just does a little bit of everything. And for a sophomore, there's like a rare knack for him to like always just be around the ball. Like he's always in the middle of the action. For most sophomores, they're floating around, they'll have big flashes, stuff like that. But he's in the middle of everything. So definitely one of my favorite teams, and just the culture that they've created over the last three to 4 years, and over the last few years with just how dominant they've been in the DMV. It's been cool to see that translate to the national scene.
They came over from Bass Pro and they won it all. They won 2 out of the 3 years. And I was surprised they was making that haul from Bass to Hoopall.
Yeah, you couldn't really see it. And I think that goes to show, like we're talking about with their culture, obviously had a big game against Columbus, but they compete, man. Like they're never gonna go down easy.
How do you feel about when players like Ace Bailey don't play on the EYBL circuit, right? And they play in the independent circuit, and you would love to see him in that arena spring and summer. And I'm now being able to cover him because of City of Palms and because of Hoopall. If you could elaborate a little bit about Ace Bailey and a little bit about his background.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously become one of the tougher evaluations just with like what I do in terms of grasping what he's doing, what it means, beyond just the box scores and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, he hasn't played the level of competition most of the other guys in the class have played. Hasn't played a ton of USA basketball. Obviously didn't play on a shoe circuit, so it's tougher to grasp. But I mean, it's hard to miss the talent level at 6'9", just with the way he moves the
The
shot.
shots he takes is pretty bizarre. Not all, but he makes some difficult shots with like a couple of hands up. And I'm like,
Yeah.
wow.
If anyone in the country, we're talking about Jahlil Bethea, he's another one that comes to mind. But if anyone in the country's got the ultimate green light, it's Ace Bailey for sure. Like he's taking his shots, he's creating at will. And I mean, he's been impressive. He's had a really nice year just in terms of who he's playing up against, the productivity. But yeah, I mean, he's going to be a fascinating development to follow moving forward, just like as he goes up levels and plays against elite guys consistently.
How many times have you seen Columbus play? I know I've seen the Boozers play like over 50 times, and I enjoy watching them as if it was my first time watching them play. How do you think they performed at Hoop Hall?
Yeah, I think they played really well. Playing against a team like PVI is a super tough matchup with that for them, because how cohesive they are, how they all know their roles, just how mature they are. A lot of those guys are seniors, and Columbus didn't like they were the aggressor, it felt like the entire game. Obviously with Cam Boozer, like a little bit of a slow start there, but it showed his maturity just as the game went on, where he like kind of felt out his spots, started the game mostly as a playmaker, and then as the game went on, got a little bit more aggressive, and throughout the entire game was pretty elite defensively. And I think that's been the theme. Obviously, you talked about seeing Columbus throughout the year. He's kind of started to assert himself as a really, really premier level defender. So yeah, I thought they were awesome. And yeah, their branded brass basketball also is super, super entertaining.
I tell Andrew Moran, him and I have been building a really good relationship. And it's like, dude, you're unbelievably blessed to have the Boozer Twins and Jace Richardson. And watching those guys compete, man, it's just fun. And Jace Richardson brought the energy. And it's very difficult playing against an East Coast school, man, because they just play a different brand of basketball. They're tough, they're gritty. They guard you 94 feet, but they came from Florida and took care of business that last day.
Jace Richardson, that's a good call out for sure. He had an awesome weekend. And I feel like every time I've seen him since the summer, like it feels like he's getting better and better, and the aggression level and the confidence is growing just with every part of his game. So yeah, I mean, those pieces fit together really well. You can see how they lift each other.
Who is another team in your notes, if you could think of that you really enjoy watching play or players?
I know one that we've both seen a bunch of. I thought it was nice to see just Jalen Harrelson back with Lalemir. I think
Yeah.
for them, obviously had some struggles over the last month or so while he's been out. And I think when he's back on the floor, it shows one about their team and two about him as a player, how everyone else kind of just falls into place. Thought that was super impressive. I think they played a really good brand of basketball as well, super selfless. So I thought just seeing him back on the floor was obviously really nice, and he's still settling back in. But I thought everyone else around him was at a higher level because he was there.
Yeah, I'm happy to see him healthy, and he showed the maturity of coming off the bench. A lot of five stars don't do that. And to see him be in a position of like, hey, I'm a five star. I haven't played in like a month, but I'm gonna come off the bench and rally my guys. And I got a play where he ripped through and dunked, right? Then he made a critical three. And so it was very nice to see him back and to watch Ace Buckner actually have a really great weekend.
He's
He made
awesome.
some significant plays, and to see Lalu kind of just rally back after the Laporte Invitational, it was pleasant to see. And obviously, Jerry Easter got MVP, and Melvin Bell, Chuck Love all contributed. But the other guy, too, from Lalu was Steven Solano.
Yeah, that's the
He
guy I
was
was
like,
talking about.
yeah, double double machine, and he was grabbing every rebound for Pat. And yeah, shout out to him.
Yeah, he had an awesome weekend, and I think that's a great call with Ace Buckner too. That game against Sunrise, that was the best individual game I've seen him put together for sure. Like, he was getting wherever he wants, playing above the rim. It was awesome defensively, and yeah, I thought it was really nice to see him have a weekend like that for sure.
Who's your all first team? If you could say off the top right now, who would you say your first team will be?
That's tough. I would definitely go Cooper and Liam. Would definitely go with AJ. Gets tough from there. There's a lot of guys who played well. Jace Richardson, I would throw in there, and probably Cam Boozer.
Oh, nice. That's actually a solid one. Give me Eric Freeney. This is my fantasy one. Yeah,
Yeah.
give me Eric Freeney, and who else? I said Eric Freeney, Jahlil
Yeah. That's
Bethea.
a big miss on my part.
Because I think that Jahlil could play off the ball, and Freeney could control the tempo of the floor. On the wing, give me AJ DeBanta on the wing. And my four spot, give me Tyronn Stokes. And my five, give me Cameron Boozer.
No,
Yeah.
it's Jaleel's a good one. That's a good
Yeah.
team.
But then you got Cooper Flagg, and it's just like it's so many talented players, and I think we all got an email to vote, right? And our top players, and watching as a videographer and a content guy who loves basketball, watching the film community grow to cover these athletes. What's your perspective when you're there taking notes, right? And you see just all of us holding our cameras and filming.
Nah, it was crazy. That goes hand in hand with the what I opened up with the environment. Like, it goes to show just how much like love there is for the game, with just how many people are in the gym, how many people are crowding around trying to see Montverde Cooper taking time after the games to go sign autographs. So it just feels like the entire environment was just filled with definitely a big love for the game, a lot of passion in the stands. And I think the camera guys, the coverage, the media, was awesome as well.
What are your favorite events that you enjoy going to?
I got a lot. Would definitely say anywhere, anytime I can come to Indiana to see,
Oh, thanks.
but the
Yeah.
basketball environment in Indiana is just different. So definitely something like that. And the thing that I've definitely noticed is, and I think Hoopall is a good example of that, is these smaller towns. Like, maybe not been to Tarkanian in Vegas and like some of the bigger things in these bigger cities across the country. But I think it's the smaller towns, the smaller cities, like a Springfield, like LaPorte, like all these different places across the country just have a different basketball environment where there's just a big time love for the game. I definitely enjoy those.
How was Tark? I didn't know you went there. I had a freelancer out there. But How was TARC for you?
Tark's awesome. Tark's definitely one of my favorites, just with how many different teams they bring in from all across the country. Obviously, one of those where it's like you're gonna miss something. Just depending on what game you're at, there's probably different players playing on different teams that you want to see too. So that's the hard part of it. But just for like what I do with the scouting service stuff, it's an awesome place to see a lot of new guys and cover different guys that probably a lot of college coaches don't know much about.
And for context, TARC is the Tarkanian Classic in Vegas. Yep, in Vegas where Max was at. And I got a chance to edit Brandon McCoy's footage from Bass Pro. I had a freelancer there. I had a freelancer in TARC at the Tarkanian Classic, but I haven't got a chance to film Elijah Arenas right now. He's hot. I filmed him 17s at 3SB, but he wasn't what he is now. And I said Brandon McCoy, Gilbert Arenas, and then what's the other kid? Lefty, he's a scorer.
Jason Crow.
Jason Crow. Yeah, he's on my priority list.
He's a monster, man. He dropped 50 at Tark in like the back gym. It was
Who's
probably
Jason Crow? Well, how would you
Jason Crow
give
Jr.
his
is
background?
a sophomore guard, plays at Lynwood High School in SoCal. He's a sophomore and he's also one of the youngest kids in the sophomore class, but he's at 2,000 career points already as of I think last week. So just a wild level creator, elite level shooter from the 3-point line. So yeah, one of the most skilled guys, one of the most skilled guards in the country.
Is he related to anybody in the NBA?
No, he's not. Not that I know of.
Yeah, that's insane. 2,000 points. And you're that young. I've never seen someone score 3,000 points in high school. So I'll be looking out for that. And yeah, that's pretty much it, man. I mean, I enjoyed Hoopaw. It was fun. It was very long. But time went by fast when you're doing what you love. And anytime I get a chance to see the Boozers play or Eric Freeney, there was one kid though who was a sleeper who played for Grayson. And it was Jakari Harris, who's Glenn Robinson's son.
It's one of my favorite guys in the senior class.
Really?
Funny you mentioned that. Yeah. Just like
Yeah.
super, super skilled, can shoot the lights out, but like kind of got an old man's game, just super, super crafty. Yeah, he's definitely one of my favorites too.
Yeah, I saw a good friend of mine's post his highlights, and it was one of the last games of the evening. And I was like, man, I was overlooking this game, and I saw this kid's face, and I said, Grayson, Georgia. I went back to my DMs, and the guy was Atlanta Sports Films, and it was Jakari Harris who's going to Purdue. And this was Glenn Robb's son that obviously didn't have his last name, so we didn't put two and two together. But per Purdue basketball's Twitter, we was able to I was able to put two and two together. So I enjoy watching him. And oh, Darius Acuff, man, he's an interesting player. Tough, very consistent. How do you feel about him? You like him?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a good year for sure on an IMG team that's been a little up and down. They dealt with a ton of injuries, but he's been really consistent just in terms of creation and like defenses throwing a ton of different things his way, with how much he can do off the bounce. And he's kind of continued to find different counters and continue to produce. So I think, yeah, I mean, just continuing to progress as both a playmaker and shooter are kind of the next big steps for him. And he's done that so far.
I'm kicking myself right now because I forgot to talk about Trey Johnson with you. I could watch Trey Johnson hoop any day. I think he's going to be a fantastic pro. And he's just one of those guys that gets it done. He's very passionate. Texas got a steal in Trey, and that link team is interesting. The kid that I would say I want to see him get develop is the brother that played for St. Rita's,
Yeah, James Brown.
James Brown. Yeah, I really didn't see much development right now. Sometimes I feel like he could do better and be better, but maybe that's how he always played. But I saw him be better at St. Rita. I've known him more to be much more of an impact with St. Rita and Marais. Thinking about it now, it was wild that they played for St. Rita. And
And no Yacindrosytis at Brewster.
yes, right? And so
100 school.
to see that kind of implode at a very short time, I don't know. I just want to see much more production from James Brown, who's going to North Carolina.
Yeah, definitely. I think settling into like a role around super high level guys has definitely been a bit of a process for him. And I think just as a whole, just trying to stay patient with bigs has been a thing for me. Just evaluating these young bigs. So yeah, interested to see more, but it definitely feels like there's more in him that he can pull out.
And LeBaron Philo is one
You're
of
hitting on all my guys right now.
he's a guy that people don't know. Like, he comes from the South, and was it Alabama area?
Yeah.
Yeah, Alabama. He was one of those. The energy he gave me was a very classic Akil Carr environment in Alabama, where he just shuts the community down and everyone's about to watch LeBaron put up 40 points.
Yeah. LeBaron has become, since EYBL this year, one of my favorite guys in the class. And I think one of the guys who's quietly just gotten much better. And I think that's the hard part with evaluation. All of this stuff is we watch these guys since they're sophomores, and it's hard to kind of keep track of who's actually getting better. He's
Right.
definitely one of those guys who's really added to his game and become like a true combo guard, where he's actually making plays for other guys, can score whenever he needs to, can score whenever he wants to. So yeah, that's one of my favorite guys in the class for sure.
What he did was he was leading the like country in scoring.
Yep.
And I remember because it was an assignment that Zach gave me, and he's like, "Hey, I need you to find a freelancer in Alabama, because this kid's leading the country in scoring." And to see him where he's at continue to get better, like you said, is nice to see, man. And I'm a huge fan of LeBaron, and but more so Trey also. Being able to close out the day with filming those guys against IMG, it was a great remarkable event. And I think, I don't know, am I missing another player that's on the top of my mind? Let's see here.
I would drop in one more guy that definitely impressed me. One briefly was Slim Rogers at Centennial, a sophomore that not a lot of people know about. Plays with Eric Freeney and Carter Bryant in that team. One of my favorite guys in that sophomore class, and I think a guy that people get to know over this next few months. And then the other guy was Cam Miles, Arizona Compass. I think one of
Yeah.
the guys
Sleeper.
he's gotten way better over the
He
course of.
won there. He was the catalyst for winning that last game.
Yeah, he's had a really, really nice year. Think his recruitment should continue to kind of go up another level. Really good combo guard, really awesome feel for the game, and I think he's elevated all the guys around him too.
Well, I'm excited. What's your next event?
I'll be in Quincy, Illinois this weekend for the Quincy Shootout.
Oh, I gotta look at that schedule. Good. I think one of my guys, Marcus, is going down to Quincy, and I'm gonna try to catch Con Naple or Tyler Hero's little brother this weekend. But yeah, and that's pretty much it though, man. I appreciate you, bro, and thanks for coming on like the podcast again and kind of briefing us on your favorite players and breaking down some of the teams. And I'm excited. I'm excited for this spring and summer. It's going to be great.
Absolutely.
La Lu plays today too. I think I got a shooter that's going to be there. I'm not going to be there, but they play tonight.
Got to tap in. I didn't know
Yeah. They play tonight. So there's a nugget. And until next time, bro, I appreciate you. Thanks, Max.
absolutely. Thank you.